Hi, my name's Mimi. I'm an addict. I feel really, really uncomfortable, and I really don't like the microphone. It's making me even more nervous. I'm just really nervous because there's so many people here, and I've never shared to this many people before. I'm just going to try and do what I've done before in shares and not look at anyone. So I'm going to share a bit about my using, because when I first came into NA, I hated it, and part of the only enjoyment of the meetings was to hear people's gory stories at the beginning. So, I didn't grow up in London. I came from quite a nice family. They weren't particularly normal, but they were nice enough. I've got two sisters and a brother, and we all get on quite well. I think there was a couple of things that happened when I was little, about 5 years old or whatever, that like trauma, that kind of started off me being able to pretend I was okay when I wasn't, and not talking about what was going on. And then really my story's not that different from anyone else's. Is like I started using when I was about 12, just smoking weed and drinking at parties. I think I noticed that the trauma stuff was coming up when I was about 12, and it quietened my head, which I really liked. And it kind of just plodded on like normal. I had all right friends-ish, and we all used. In hindsight now, we're all addicts. So, but at the time, I felt like my using was really normal. You don't need ID up north like you do in London. So we all started going out when we were like 14 and like to all the normal clubs and whatever else. And I used like everybody with recreational kind of stuff. I don't think at that point I felt like I was that out of control, or that I just felt like it was normal. And just slowly as time progressed, I kind of realised that I started branching off from my friends that I knew, and the people I started knocking about with probably took more drugs, harder drugs, and did more dangerous stuff. And then kind of, I just plodded along. I mean, my using was bad, but probably not to the extent that my life was completely unmanageable. And then when I got to about 18, I writ off a car, got banned for drink driving, and got loads of drugs were found in my house by my dad, and I got kicked out. And then I got a job and I was going to college, and I kind of slowly realised that the money I was making from the job wasn't really covering my using. So initially I got a boyfriend who was about 21 years older than me and was a drug dealer. And then when we split up, I kind of realised that I couldn't afford the using. So then I started dancing in a club, like a lap dancing club, and things just went from bad to worse. Like all the people that I knocked about with, they were just more dangerous, did more dangerous stuff, and yeah, my using got worse and I was in a sticky situation. Throughout that, like, I somehow managed to carry on going to college, and I got into uni to do social work to fix everyone else's life, because mine was a pile of shit. And I wanted to be a better social worker than the ones that, like, I'd known growing up with, like, I was quite lucky and didn't have social care involved, but, like, my friends had really shitty social workers, and I was like, I'm going to save the world and be this, like, really down-to-earth social worker. And, so I was doing that. I was stripping in the evening, going to social work degree in the daytime, and by this point I was becoming alcohol dependent and using. And then I got taken on a holiday from the lap dancing club, people that I knew, and that's where I met my ex-partner. And that was just a whirlwind of like volatile, abusive relationship, and the using just got worse. I mean, to be honest, for all of his sins, he's not like actually that much of a user. Like, he was really taken aback by my using. but the situation just kind of made me use more and more. And yeah, I kind of got to a point where I just didn't give a shit. I was quite often just wouldn't wash for days. I'd often wake up covered in my own vomit and God knows whatever else. And I just couldn't handle... I was a social worker at this point. I managed to get a job. So I was like alcohol dependent and going to work during the day, withdrawing, then drinking at work and all. Or, well, I was justifying it to myself saying I wasn't drinking at work because I'd drink until like 6 in the morning, have an hour's sleep and then go into work and then withdraw and have to leave. And taking other drugs to get through it. And basically then I got signed off work and that was just a free pass to use all the time. I tried to split up with my boyfriend loads of times and that was just like a nightmare in breaking into my house and all this stuff. So basically my family had started to notice by this point, you know, like she's falling away at the seams, like this girl just can't contain her life. And I somehow managed to get into treatment. So off I got taken to rehab and my dad told me recently like that was one of the hardest days of his life, and it's really hard to hear things like that, but you have to kind of remember the impact that my using actually had on everyone else. Like that devastated my family, devastated my friends, and I was just an absolute nightmare to be around. Yeah, so anyway, I went to treatment. I had no intention of being clean. I wanted an alcohol detox to go back and use with all my friends. And I split up with my boyfriend on the door of going into rehab and said, I'm not going to speak to you ever again, and threw my phone away. And then got sent to an all-women's rehab after that treatment. I took the opportunity because I felt like I couldn't turn it down. And they'd recognised that I had, like, relationship issues. So we got to spend 3 months with all women. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I absolutely hated NA. I hated treatment. I hated all of it. I just thought it was a load of shit. And I couldn't understand why everyone was just, like, so happy and doing all these, like, good things for people and gratitude lists. And it all made me really cringe because I didn't want to be clean. So I was staying clean because I was getting drug tested. And then I decided to get back with my ex-boyfriend because I felt like my using was the issue. And, yeah, so that went from bad to worse. And then I started relapsing on the booze and going back to treatment during the week and saying that I was clean. And I graduated because I wanted to get into the third stage housing. Because by this point, I think I'd kind of noticed that I couldn't go back to Sheffield and stay alive. So I moved into supported housing. I was doing meetings on and off and I got told, oh, you know, you need to get a sponsor, you need to get service and all of this stuff. And I was like, I have not got time for that. I'm far too busy. And I've just got loads of using to do, to be honest. I don't really want to do all those things. It ties me to a meeting. And I didn't really know where I was. I didn't have time to say, oh, yeah, I can be there on that day every week. Like, I didn't know what I was doing, really. So I kind of plodded along trying to engage with some of this third stage housing stuff. And then I just kept relapsing. I couldn't stop. I was managing to stay off the drugs at that point because I was getting drug tested and you would be thrown out. But then I decided to run off with my ex and disappeared. Police, like they wanted to get the police involved and all of this stuff, and I ended up in hospital and I was really, really unwell. And like I kind of came out of hospital, I thought I had brain damage. They'd had to detox me again, and I did just think like, although it wasn't as bad as my using before I went into rehab, I kind of just felt like totally emotionally worn down. And just now I get the phrase spiritually broken, but at the time I was just like, I'm just really sad. I just couldn't take it anymore, I really couldn't. And I decided maybe I'll give it a go because I thought, what's the point in me living in London using when it's actually more dangerous, acknowledged. So I decided to maybe do some of the things that were suggested to me in my early days. I got a commitment. I started doing my 90 and 90. I walked up to a random woman and asked her to sponsor me, which was a bit of a higher power moment because she has turned out to be an amazing sponsor. but I didn't know her. I just heard her share for about 2 minutes and was like, hi, my name's Mimi, do you want to sponsor me? And she was like, maybe we should get to know each other first. But she kind of took me through, like, I was calling her for 30 days. I did have a relapse. I drank on one day. And she agreed to keep sponsoring me. And then I got involved in, like, a gratitude list group, which, again, all of this stuff really made me cringe. The holding hands at the end of the meeting, the, like, praying, the gratitude. But I said I was willing to do it because I just couldn't carry on how I'd been going. So I got involved in a gratitude list group on WhatsApp, and there was loads of women that I connected with on there. And slowly that was how I started to build my support network. And my sponsor had said to me, like, this is where you will be able to get, like, some freedom, is connecting with women in the rooms. I'd like to tell you that I completely followed that suggestion, and I didn't, and decided to get into a relationship with somebody in the rooms, which went how it always, everyone tells you it's going to go, went really badly. And luckily I stayed clean through that, but that's really not everyone's experience, and I really wish I'd taken on the suggestion of not doing that and sticking with the women. I can't speak for men's experience, but that was where the growth was for me, like, women telling me where my thinking of running off with my ex and marrying him is going to keep me clean, and they'll pull me up on it and stop, you know, they'll try and build me up and give me advice and teach me how they stay clean, basically. And I've developed, like, a really, really solid foundation with them, which I feel really grateful for. Yeah, and I've still got the commitment, so I've just turned 10 months clean. And that commitment's coming to an end. And I started working the steps with my sponsor. I've worked them really, really slowly, and everyone has their own pace, and I will get there. But that is where the growth is, and I think that I've got a lot out of that step work already. I think that what I've really struggled with is taking on some of the key suggestions, like I mentioned before, but, like, I got into enough pain where I changed those things. And today, when I am in pain, it is the women that I've made friends with in these rooms that have held me through that and kind of built up my self-esteem, built my confidence. And that was really, really hard, because when your self-esteem is really low, I don't want to walk up to women who look like they've got it together and ask for their number, and why would they want to be friends with me? And that was really difficult. But when I did brave it out a couple of times, although it was a bit like asking somebody out on a date, I managed to make some really, really close friends, and I feel blessed to have them in my life. I have maintained some friends from before with really, really strict boundaries, but most of the associations I had, I can't hang out with anymore because they're using. And as a result of that, I've got really good relationships with my family. My brother speaks to me now. I did courses in recovery. I've just qualified as a personal trainer. Just got my first job. I moved out of supported housing. And it's all been really, really hard, but it's been totally worth it. And on the bad days, the problems that I have are problems that I prayed for in addiction, the problems I have for today. And even though they're difficult, like, I can get through them, and they're not easier if I'm using. You still have to do life, which I struggle with, but it is a beautiful life now. And I think I'll leave it there.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Mimi. Now we have some committee announcements. We have a literature announcement, please.
Yeah, my name is Saul. I'm an addict. I'm for the literature secretary. If you're in your first 90 days, there is literature available that is free of charge, leaflets. Otherwise, there is a small charge after that. We have a full selection, and I'll be in this room at the break. So if you're looking for any literature or any questions on literature, and come and ask me, I'll be over there.
Thank you. Okay, so also we have a website at this meeting where you can download MP3s of past speakers, which are all free. The address is www.naspeakers.co.uk. If there are any NA-related announcements, please write them down and give them to GSR, which, you know, come give them to me and I'll read them out. Okay, so... And can the newcomer representatives please make themselves known?
Monica Alex.
Hi, Monica.
If you're female and new and you want to know more about the program, I'll be
in that
room.
Thank you.
I'm Ian Maddox. Thank you. Exactly what Monica said. Any men, anybody's new to NA, wants to have a little chat, I'll be in the room opposite the stairs.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you.
Brilliant. The venue has some rules. The venue asks that the kitchen is out of bounds to anyone who is not on the committee and that no cups to be taken up the stairs. This is a no-smoking building, so please do not smoke by the main door and could we please not block the entrance to the venue. There will not be any tea or coffee available after the break. We now have a break. The meeting will reconvene in 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sweating my back out. You guys were going the old time.